Okay, today's daf is Vachem daf Kuf Beis 102, and we are on Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. The last line we will start with Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. So the Gemara just brought up a couple of lines earlier a question about the status of Moshe Rabbeinu. Was Moshe Rabbeinu a Kohen? Was Moshe Rabbeinu a Zar? That was the fascinating question that was brought up. The third to last skinny line. The Gemara first started with Amar Rav Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol, v'cholik b'kachas Shemayim, and he could get a chilek in the kachas Shemayim based on a pasuk in Sefer Yikra related to the Miluim. So the Gemara goes through a couple of verses related to what was the status of Moshe Rabbeinu. We did have a question earlier back in Maseches Avodah Zarah and it came up Maseches Tainus also related to the Big Day Kahuna. We use that as one of the Nafka Minas, whether the Big Day Kahuna is the din of the Avod, the din of the Kohen. When the Gemara said b'mashimesh Moshe. So we said that could be a question about what was Moshe Rabbeinu's status, like the Gemara asked here, what was his status? Number two, it could be assuming one of the statuses, assuming, let's say, he was not a Kohen, which is probably the Pashtus, so did he wear the Bita Kahuna? Meaning, is it a did in the Kohen, and that he would not require it, or is it a did in the Avoda, and that he would? That's how the Arachayim HaKadosh, if you remember months ago, understood the question. But here the Gemara specifically is dealing with the issue of what was his status. So Meisve says the Gemara in the last line, Miriam Mihiskira. We know there's a halacha that a Kohen has to be maskir, has to close up somebody who has saras. He has to decide, he has to say the words. Yes, if you have a Kohen who is even a katan or a tipesh, you can have a chacham figure it out. But the ultimate declaration has to be said by the Kohen. He could feed the information to the Kohen, but you need a Kohen in the end. So who was the one that sent Miriam into Hezker at the end of Parshas Bahaloscha? So Miriam Hezkira, who was the Kohen at the time? Imtamar Moshe Hezkira. If you want to say that Moshe Rabbeinu did it, Moshe Zarhu. Moshe was a czar, says Beferish in the Brisa, and therefore he couldn't be maskir her. So Bein czar roes hanagam, and the czar is not allowed to be roe hanagam. You have to bring it to the Kohen. And even if you want to say, some of the Achronim say, even if you want to say czar can really be roe, but roe here doesn't really mean roe, it means the entire process. And therefore the czar can't do that. V'yim tomar Aaron hisgira, and if you want to say Aaron did it, Aaron karofu. Aaron was a brother, the ein karov roe as hanagam. And a karov cannot see the gum. It can't have a relative see the gum. It can't be objective. So, okay, we'll get to that in a second. So, Ella, so who did it? Let's finish the brisa first. Kavod gadol chalak l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu to Miriam. There's a tremendous kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Miriam, Osa Shah, at that moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol himself said, Ani Kohen v'ani Masgira. I am a Kohen and I'll take care of her. Ani Masgira. Ani Cholta v'ani Potra. I will be machlet. I'll say she's a Mitzar Mukhlat, there's Muska, there's Mukhlat, a definite Vadipotra, and I will exempt her from being a Mitzorah. So that's the Brisa, fascinating discussion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in. But just, Derech Agav, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is stepping in here, maybe we could, it's a deeper appreciation of the Gemara that's come up many times, the Gemara of Dayo. What's the source of Dayo? The limitation of Kal v'Chomer. So we say the source is from Bahaloscha. That if you would spit in, if your father would spit at you, it would only be embarrassed for 7 days. Surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it would be 14 days, but Dayos, so that's why you only say 7 days. Miriam was closed up for it. So what do you mean in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because he was the one involved. According to this Gemara, he was the one that was Dafka there. He was the primary player, Kaviyachol, in this hachlatas mitzoraas. So therefore, that's how the dayo is all learned from that. So let's just finish. That's the brisa. So katani mihas Moshe zar vein zar was negam. But see, you see the brisa is beferish that Moshe was a zar and a zar cannot see negaim. So it's a kasha on Rav who said Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen Gadol.
It's really after the hakamas mishkan. After
Mimluim,
it was a transfer, no?
Oh, for sure. So you're saying for sure afterwards he wasn't. The only Shaila is Mimluim, but what about now? So that's a question. Like Mar, what does Rav say? Rav's Pasuk, he's not limiting it. But we're going to have a Machlokas Tanoim later on. Who's going to say? Some say only during Shavuos Mimluim. But it's not clear that's the only Shita. The Gemara here obviously is assuming that at the time of the story, of Miriam and Moshe still, which was later. So the Gemara answers, Rav Nachman, what would Rav answer to this? Doesn't the Brisa say Beferish? So the Gemara, again, if you remember, doesn't like to answer Rav Tanu Palag, even though the Gemara could have answered that Rav was on the border, and he could have argued, but we'd never like to say that unless we have to. So Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Shaini Maros Negaim, Da'aron Ubanav Ksuvim Beparsha. Nega is different. Negaim doesn't only require the status of Kohen. Negaim are a special din in Aaron Ubanav. That's what it says in the Psukim. And therefore, there is a tzorech for a biological descendant of Aaron. Aaron or his biological descendants. We've discussed this in a Parsha Shir. It's come up in the past, and that is Kohanim really have two kedushos, two statuses. Inherently, they are Kohanim, and then they are also Bnei Aaron. The two types of statuses. One is Birusha, one is themselves. But one can you say is more of a status that they achieve. One is the biological. My father's a Kohen, you're a Kohen. So says the Gemara here that by Negam specifically, maybe not by other Dvarim Shel Kahuna, by Negam specifically, special din of Aaron Ubanov Ksuvin Be Parsha. And that's why it is needed. What about getting back to Simi's question? That is, the Gemara says, Moshe can't do it because he's a Tzar. Aaron can't do it because he's a Karav. Moshe's also a Karav. Moshe's just as much as a Karav as Aaron. So why does the Gemara specifically say that Moshe was a Tzar? So a couple of answers. Number one, the Marsha here says, Ladavka. It likes to be nice and neat to say one reason per person, and that's why it says that Aaron was a Kohen and Moshe Rabbeinu was a Tzar. Number one. Number two, the Siach Yitzchak says that by a Karov, if they accepted him, even though he's a Karov, that he'd be able to do it. Right? Just like we have the Mishnah Mesechah Sanhedrin. Kiblu alai. Abba, Kibla Avicha, Kibla Shloshi Rei Bakar, just like you can accept puzzle people in order to judge cases, maybe even to be Edim. That's a Machlokas in the Mishnah is there. According to Rashi, his Pashas is only for Dayanim. If I remember, it's Machlokas Rishonim. So you can accept people to do it, even though they're puzzle. So suggest the Siach Yitzchak by a Karov, by a relative, you can also accept to do the Halachas of Tzara'as. Since the whole mucker that a Karov can't do it is because Hukshu Negaim Larivim, because it's compared to Dini Mamanis. And that's why a Karov is excluded. But the Psul of Zar is not learned from there. That's a separate Psul. It's learned there from this Parsha itself. But they are, and therefore even Kibbul Olai is not going to work. So that's why it says Dafka Zar, because that's a greater Psul. That even if they were to try to accept him as a Karov, even though he's a Karov, to accept him to do it here, he wouldn't be able to do it because he's a Zar. So it's a more inclusive Psul, says the Siach Yitzchak. And one final answer from the Mara Cohen. From the Mara Cohen, the back of the Gemara, he says that all kurva, doesn't work so well with the Gemara, but he says, kol kurva eina elamitzad achomer hagashmi. Kurva and being a relative is only in the physical realm. Aval ba'olam hanashamos ein shayach shum kurva. But in the olam hanashamos, so there's no shayach kurva. And post Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu was in Hashama. More on the Shema than a goof. Right, he didn't eat for 40 days, 40 nights. Kodem achet ha'e kamalach elokim. And therefore, at this point, there was no kurva. So exactly. So I don't know how he works out with the Gemara Baba Basra, which says, the example given by the psul kurva, he says, Moshe and Aaron, psulim. And Moshe and Aaron are brothers, and they wouldn't be able to testify together. It's mamish, that's the... Oh, maybe that only means Moshe and Aaron before Har Sinai. Right, I don't... Anyway, but that's his... That's his suggestion that Moshe Rabbeinu went up Psul Kurva. But yeah, it's ironic that Dafka, that Moshe is the one that the Gemara gives us the example, that they're also wouldn't be able to testify. Okay, good. By the way, remember we said there are only five Agadic Marshas in the whole Masechta, so today's one of them. Right, so one of the Agadah, we'll get it towards the end, so we have to finish them at some point. So we had a few Agadites already. We had a little bit on Daf and Gimel by the split of Binyamin and Yehuda. We had one that I missed. It was the day after the Shalom Zachar. That was on Daf Peches. All the big day kahuna that are mechaper for each of the sins. Today, hopefully get back to another one. Okay, here we go. Meisvei. Says the Gemara, another Bryce. Again, we're trying to prove whether Moshe was a Kohen or not. So you see the Bryce's from Seder Olam. Going through all the Bryce's. Meisvei, Chameis Machos, Haisa Elisheva. Yisera, Abadot Yisrael. There were five reasons to be happy for Elisheva. Elisheva Bas Aminadav, the wife of Aaron HaKohen. So they were sister of Nachshon. Says the Gemara, says the Brisa, there were five reasons that she was happy on that day. On that day of the first day of Nisan, that the Chanukah HaMishkan started. Five reasons that she was happy. Why five reasons? Yevama Melech, her brother-in-law, Moshe Rabbeinu. She was married to Aaron. So Yavama here is used as her brother-in-law, right? Yavama, that's what we usually mean. Oh, Yavama is what it is to Yibam, but really it's a brother-in-law. Yavama Melech, he was the king. Moshe Rabbeinu was the king. Isha, her husband, Kohen Gadol, was the Kohen Gadol. Bina, her son Elazar was the Skan, the assistant Kohen Gadol. Ben Bina, her grandson, Pinchas, Mashuach Melchama. She had a lot of nachas that day. So it means five simchas. Her grandson was the Kohen Gadol. You wonder why Korach was jealous. You know, it's all in the family. Akash Rachel said it to be all in the family. The Achiha, Nasi Shevet, and her brother was giving the first karba, Nachshon Aminadav. Right? So everything was wonderful. But besides that, Va'avela Ashtei Baneha. Day wasn't perfect. Right? She was also in mourning for her two sons, Nadav and Avihu. That's the Brisa. So let's finish first. The says the Gemara, Tani Mias Yivama Melech, Melech in Kohen Gadol. So again, doesn't the Brisa, isn't it against Rav? Because he was a king, he was the king, he wasn't the Kohen Gadol, as Rav said yesterday. Answer the Gemara, Ema Af Melech. No, it means he was also the Melech. He might have been the status of the Kohen Gadol too, but he was also the Melech, and he was uniquely the Melech, and that's why the Brisa says that one. First a Dvar Halacha, and then a Dvar Hashkacha. The Meshech Chachma asks, we know from the beginning of Parshas Yisro that what happened when everyone came and had the Suda, Vayikach Yisro Chosin Moshe, Ola Uzvachim Elokim, Yisro takes Karbanas, Vayav Arav Chosek Yisro, Lechol Lechem, Im Chosin Moshe. Lefnehu Elokim, what does Rashi there say? Moshe Rabbeinu was Omid Mishamish, Moshe Rabbeinu was the waiter, he was serving, he was the king. So ask the Meshech Chachma, how'd he do that? Had they let him do it? How'd he do that? So that's the kasha. That's what you learn from Hakol Ananim, Yisudas Tamid HaChachamim Mesumim Bo, Kilu Ananim Yisav HaShechina, because it says, Lefnehu Elokim, and therefore you know the Tamid HaChachamim were there, it was as if Hashem. So how did he do it? So the Meshech Chachma has one suggestion. Achein halo darshu al, they darshu on the Pasuk in Zos HaBracha, Vayihivi Shurin Melech. Right, Melech Zeh Moshe. Fiksiv behis asef rashe am vizeh be'es matan Torah yom hakel avo yisro bakota matan Torah. Says the Meshech Chachma, first opinion, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu only got the status of a melech and matan Torah. Before matan Torah he did not, and this chazal must be going according to the opinion that Yisro came before matan Torah. That's a machlokas tanam. Where's that machlokas tanam? We're going to have it in 2 weeks. Zlachem kufte zayin. Right, as Machlokas Tanoim, whether Yisro came before or after Matan Torah. Rashi quotes one of the opinions. But assuming Yisro came, if you read the Torah Kipshuto, if the Torah is written in chronological order, like the Ramban always likes to say, so the Yisro came before Matan Torah. The question is, what did he hear then? He couldn't have heard about Matan Torah. So he heard a Molech, he heard Kriyas Yamsuf, he heard all of the other Nisim, according to that Deya. So maybe that's what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu's status changed. Ula Tanoi, the Sarvi, the Lachar Matan Torah by Yisro, but if you hold like the other Tanoim, then you have to say, Moshe Loha Yomen of Tarash Befrehim. You don't have a bravery. You have to say you don't hold like this chazal. Not every chazal has to agree with each other. So the chazal says he was always a b'shamesh, but hold it, he wasn't a melech. Right, you have to say he was before Matan Torah, whatever the case may be. That is the Meshech Chachma. Other achronim I saw say that maybe it was before Knisa La'aretz. And, in order to be Knisa La'aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu never went into Knisa La'aretz. The halacha of melech shemachal al kvodo, ein kvodo machal, the halachas of malchus only started after they went into Eretz Yisrael. Because one could say, makes sense. The whole idea of Malchus is something that only, yes, there was the status of Malchus in some way. For example, where do we learn out more of a Malchus from? Yeshua Perak Aleph. Yeshua Perak Aleph. So that was before they went in, but Yeshua had the din of a Melech. Or they said, anybody call me Yashar Yamar Espicha, we're going to take care of. But it could be that full Malchus only kicked in after Knisa La'aretz, because Malchus is a function of government. Government was only needed after they went to Knisa La'aretz, because beforehand the Kadosh Baruch Hu was in charge. You don't need Malchus, you need a Melech when you have the Mun, and you have the Be'er, and you have the Ananei HaKavod. So Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Melech. Okay, but not for all intents and purposes. So that's another suggestion I saw one of the Achronim give to answer up the Meshech Chachma's Kasha. Okay, that is one halachic issue on this price. And there are other sources, not for now, that Moshe Rabbeinu's status changed at Har Sinai. Rav Soloveitchik has a thought about it, that Moshe Rabbeinu became the Moser HaTorah at before Har Sinai. Okay, just one diak he said. That's why he says, if you look at the Gemara, the end of Merubah, where the Gemara says, Nevi'im Shebeinehem. The Gemara, the source for Kriyas HaTorah. So it says that Nevi'im Shebeinehem enacted, and then Ezra Sofer enacted. See, it was Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Rambam quotes it, he says Moshe Rabbeinu enacted. Why did it say Nevi'im Shebeinehem? Where is that? Pebeis, I think, in Baba Kama. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, because before Maimon Har Sinai, that was in Mara, when they enacted Kriyas HaTorah, he didn't have the status of Moshe Rabbeinu yet. When the Rambam is writing again, and he says in Hilchas Tefila Moshe, because he's writing, looking back, Moshe had done it, because he was the lead Navi at the time. But the status of Moshe Rabbeinu kicked in after Maimon Har Sinai. Right? And there are other sources of this as well. One of the Yartzeit Shirim was devoted to this, Takanas Moshe, but we'll stop there. So that is related one halachic point of the Braisa. The other Ashkavit point, and that is, number one, the Marsha asks, right here on HaGemara, why did the Gemara talk about Elisheva, not Aaron himself? Elisheva. Okay, Elisheva is wonderful, but why dafke Elisheva? So the Marsha suggests because there's no Avelis for a Kohen Gadol. The Gemara couldn't have said the five and the two for Aaron a Kohen. We just learned that. Aninus. There's no Aninus. He's Mak Rivoni in the whole Gemara yesterday about all the three Chatos that were brought on that day. So there's no Aninus there. Number one. Number two, so the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Chaf Aleph. He doesn't only have Chuvis about Halakha L'maisa. He was asked, what's Trot of this Gemara? What is this doing there? What's the significance? So he quotes Rav Chaim Palagi. One little paragraph he quotes there. He quotes there, Shoha Iker Hu Ha'isha. Umimena Hazchus Al Godel Tzni'usa. Ula Aaron Hetiv Ba'avura. The root of all bracha in a family is the wife, is the woman. And all the simcha comes from her, because of her and her merit. Ube'emes Be'pekach Nasa Aaron. And that's why Aaron married her. Listen to this line. What was her name? Eli Sheva. Eli, my God is with me, Sheva. For seven simchas. There was supposed to be seven. Because Nadav and Avihu were also on their way. They blew it. Ej Zara. But really, Eli Sheva. There were seven. And that two of them, Rachman al-Islam, turned into Avelis. And that's why there were only five and two. It was Badak Bishma. So the Gemara says elsewhere. Gotta be check Bishma. One final point, and that is, then we'll continue, and that is, what's the whole significance of this Gemara? Of Simcha, there were five and two. So also quoted here, the Birei Adah from the Taras HaMincha, from the one he quotes here from one of the Talmidei HaRashba. The message is that there's, in life, there's never full 100% Simcha in Olam Hazeh. Every Simcha, we're human beings, and there's always will be some ba'atzvus, but to have a full simcha is not common. She'ein l'tzadik l'kavos l'rov shalva v'simcha ba'olam hazeh. Ki rov tzadikim, many times you have difficulties. Seil b'mad me adam arishon v'ad binyan abayis. We binyan abayis ad hayom. Who in their life had complete simcha? Think about them. He says, v'gam chakor v'drosh, adam arishon. Okay, one of his sons killed the other one. Noah, the whole world was destroyed. Avos Ha'olam, each of the Avos had tragedies. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe had Simcha. Moshe didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu's kids he wasn't Zohar to have his kids take up his mantle. The Aaron, of David, Shlomo, the Kol HaNaviim, the HaMalachim, Lo'entina HaSimcha Lo'echad Mehem, El HaKol Echad Ve'echad Mehem, Shasa Kosa Yagon, Ve'lora HaSimcha Shlema. And then he says, V'yafilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyacho, Kishibara HaOlam, Lo'entina Lo'Simchaso. Why? Shaharei Lo'bara HaKov, Lo'tzihimzi HaMetzias El HaBavar HaAdam, V'yadam Nivro Lishmar Mitzvosav, V'kivet Shechata, V'niknas Alav Misa, V'garshvi B'gan Eden, Mato Elas, V'briyas HaOlam. And that's why it says, we said it this morning in davening, Yismach Hashem b'maasav, not Samach Hashem b'maasav. Yismach Hashem b'maasav, because the only true simcha, even Ezra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be la'asin lavo. And that's why the message of simcha, five, but there's also two avelos. Because in life, we have to be happy with rov simcha. Right, what does it say? May rov kol? Mordechai Willig always says, may rov kol. We have to, we're missing one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us 99%. So there's one little element, that's what we focus on. May rov kol. We have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha, may rov kol. That's the message of the five and the two. Okay, Kitzanoi. Says the Gemara now, maybe the status of Moshe Rabbeinu was really a machlokas tanam. Vayichrav Hashem Moshe. Hashem got very angry at Moshe when he kept refusing to go back to Mitzrayim in Parsha Shmos. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer. Call a charon af shebetorah ne'amar baroshem. Every charon af. Every time it says somebody gets angry in the Torah, it has an effect. V'zeh lo namar baroshim. Except for this one. Exception to the rule, Hashem got angry at Moshe. According to Yeshua Karcha, nothing happened. Hashem got angry, but there was no effect. Yeshua Yechayomer, Rashbi says no. Avzeh namar baroshim. There was an effect. There was an effect here too. Shenemar. Rashi quotes this. Somebody asked me, one of my kids last night asked me. He says, why is it so exciting about Rashi? Everything Rashi quotes almost was written by somebody before him, by a Medrash, by a Gemara. So you could say, it's not just about what you say, but it's how you say it, and what do you choose to say, what do you choose not to say. It's a great kasha, I told him. But it's, but we have to realize, Rashi, the gallus of Rashi, isn't just, how many times does Rashi say something of his own? Gotta ask the Rashi scholars. 10 times all of Torah? I don't even know if that many. But how many times is Rashi not quoting a Medrash or a Gemara? How he's quoting it? What part of it is he quoting? He only quotes two or three opinions. All this. But that's the godless of Rashi. That's in the Shir. It's not just about the creativity coming up with own Chidusha, but if somebody presents material in a certain way, somebody has to give a Shir. You tell Talmidim you present the material in a clear way. What do you choose? How do you do it? That's godless. That itself is Chiddush. That's the godless, part of the godless of Rashi. Anyway. So Rashi, what is this doing with it here? Because Rashi quotes every Gemara. Anyway, so Rav Shimon Yochai says, this also had a Roshim. Shenemar, Halo Aaron Achicha Levi. What does Hashem tell Moshe? Aaron the Halevi is going to come out to greet you and he's going to be happy. So what do you mean, Halo Kohenu? Aaron was a Kohen. What do you mean, Aaron Halevi? Ah, Hachicha Amar. Now this is what it means. Ani Amarti Ata Kohen Vihu Levi. I originally had planned that you, Moshe, would be the Kohen. And he would be the Levi. Achshav Hu Kohen Vihata Levi. But because you made me so upset, you kept refusing and refusing and refusing, not going, so I'm switching it. He's going to be the Kohen Gadol, and you are going to be the Levi. If you remember 2 weeks ago, we mentioned this Gemara quoted in Rashi in a Parsha Shir. One of the reasons the Aznayim LaTorah, Rav Sarotskin suggested that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in Parsha Tetzaveh, point out, Mechidin HaMisifrecha, the Balaturim, the beginning of the Parsha, says, why Tetzaveh though? Because this is the Parsha where Aaron HaKohen became the Kohen Gadol. This any Parsha, he got to be the Kahuna, Lachahein Li, this is the Parsha! So this is the Parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu kind of, you know, this is where he takes second fiddle. That's why Dafka, this is the Parsha that he was left out. Other reasons we mentioned then, but that was based on this Gemara. Next, so according to that Deya, Moshe Rabbeinu was not a Kohen. Right, that he was a Levi. The Chachamim Omrim, Lo Niskayin Moshe, Ela Shivis Yemilu Bilvan. Josh, this is your suggestion before. This Deya says, only during the Meluim. During the Meluim he was a Kohen, I'll give it to you. But not besides that. Not outside of that. Only during Shivis Yemilu'im. And that was the Gemara's question elsewhere, in Titan Son of Adazara, what was he wearing during the Shivis Yemilu'im? V'yesh Omrim, Lo Paska Kahuna, Ela Mizaro Shel Moshe. Some say, no. The Kuna stopped from Moshe Zera, but Moshe stayed a Kohen his whole life. It stopped. That's the Machlokas Tanoim. According to that opinion, he was always a Kohen. Right? The earlier opinions had, he was never a Kohen. Shenemar, Umoshe Isho Elokim. Moshe, the man of God, Banav Yikaru al Shevet Levi. His children are from Shevet Levi. But Moshe himself was a Kohen. The Omer, in the Pasuk also says, Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav. Ushemuel b'Karei Shemo. Right, Moshe and Aaron Bekodav. Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel all compared to the Pasuk. Right, but Omer, what is the Omer adding? We know from the first Pasuk. What's the second Pasuk adding? The Chitim, and if you want to say, you can't be Vedayig anything in the first Pasuk, why? Ludoros who? Dichsiv? It's only written Ludoros. It's written to teach me about his children, but not about himself. The Omer, so there's a Pasuk of affairs about himself. Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav. Moshe and Aaron about, they are Kahanim themselves. Period. That's what the Machlokas Tanoim. Right, what was the status of Moshe Rabbeinu? So if you ask who was the first Kohen Gadol, usually we answer Aaron HaKohen. So it could be according to some Tanaim, that's not true. Who was the Kohen Gadol who started a dynasty? Okay. But really, Moshe Rabbeinu might have been the first. Is that really true? Getting back to that line. Every time it says there's anger in the Torah, it has an effect. It says that Moshe left Paro for the last time in a huff. Bachari af. V'lomer lev lo midi. Nothing happened. Right? You don't see there was anything effective that anger. Hashem obviously was going to bring Makas Bechoros. But what did Moshe do? Answer the Gemara. Amrei Shlakish. Sitro v'yatsa. Moshe really slapped him across the face. Wow. He slapped Paro across the face. Says the Gemara, Uyama Reish Lakish, Achi, could Reish Lakish really say this? That you could slap a king across the face, Vaksiv, Vidisavas Lakrasa Asfasaya, Vidisavas Lakrasa Asfasaya are. Remember the Pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe, go to Pyro, he's at the Yor in the morning because he's going to the bathroom there. Uyama Reish Lakish, Melechu Vahazber Lo Panim. He's a king, and be covetic with him. Because they show him a proper face. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rashi Uveis Panechabo. Rabbi Yochanan says he's a Rasha. Who cares about it? But you see, Reish Lakish himself says he has to give him covet. So how can Reish Lakish be the one that says he slap him across the face, and Reish Lakish be the one that says he give him covet? Eifach, switch it, no problem, period. What does it mean he slapped him across the face? What does that mean? So there is a Shemi Shmuel. I can't say I understand it fully, but I saw it in the Biurei Chasidus. It's been a while since we had a Biurei Chasidus, but there's only a few of them on Maseches Zvachim. Got to look back to know when the last Biurei Chasidus was. I don't know if it was in Zvachim, but anyway, so here he quotes Hashem Yishmuel. I'll say it, and then we could do our homework to figure out exactly what it means. He says, what do you mean? It can't be he slapped him across the face. Ein lafaris chas v'shalom Moshe sata laparabach v'skaso nakam. Because the Gemara says, how could it be? V'hinyan hu. Ki melech basar v'adam. Afilu mimalchi umos ha'olam. Nimsat selam elokim al panav. Asher mashpia lo koach elyon. Every leader in the world, Jew or non-Jew, has a koach of Hashem in them. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them power of rulership. Even the biggest rishayim in the world, it's Hakadosh Baruch Hu in charge. Right? You leave melech b'yad Hashem. Right? The Hakadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. So there is a nekudas, I wouldn't call it kedusha, but nekudas hashchina that is present by every leader in the world, even Rahmanul Islam, Ahmadinejad, even Rahmanul Islam, every leader. He's only a leader because the Kadosh Baruch Hu makes him a leader. And not because the people make him a leader. Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Says it's sell him everywhere. So he says, if a leader has Jews under his monarchy, so that he has even more. He has special Tzelem Elokim under there. He calls it Tzelem Elokim. Shemak Amal Yisrael Shem B'Bitzrayim, for example, Paro, Hayat Tzelem Shal Panav, Rav Chazak, Yosef Me'achirim. Kisharatzu, so when it was time for the Jews to leave, Tzrichim Hayu Hafrid Es Koach HaKadusha Sha'al Panav. Shehayu Lo Machmas Hayuso Melak Amal Yisrael. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Chazal say in Sanhedrin, if you slap a Jew across, Chasoter Lo Al Shal Yisrael, Kilu Soter Lo Al Shal Shechina. Right, slap because there's a connection between a Jew and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein ha'davar b'melech. That was what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. He was stira. What was the stira? He was removing this koach of Shechina that was near Paros. That way it let the Jews then be Yotzei Mimitzrayim. Okay, don't ask me any kashas on that. But that's the Shemi Shmuel and Parshas Bo quoted right here in Biurei Chasidus L'shas. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara Amar Yanai. It is Agada today. La'ola to hey Amos Malchus Alecha. Really, the Amos Malchus should always be upon you. Dechsiv v'yardu kol v'adecha Eli Eli. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro, all of your servants are going to come bow down to me and tell me to go down to me and tell me to leave. He didn't say you, even though Paro himself was going to come. Also, he didn't say you to give him covet. V'yuladidei lo kamerlei. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Me'achar. Rabbi Yochanan is a different source. V'yad Hashem ha'isa el Eliyahu v'yishanes masna v'yachar etz lefnei Achav. The hand of Hashem was with Eliyahu, and he still ran in front of Achav. Pesukim described that Achav was alone in the chariot, and Eliyahu Navi, Achav was one of the worst kings, Rishayim, and he still ran in front of him for his chariot to give him covet. The Marsha here is Meir, that where does Kavan Malchus stem from? Well, more Nigla line, but like the Shemi Shmuel, all Malchus comes from Hashem. After all, we make a bracha when we see a non-Jewish king. Shechala mikvodol basar vadan. So you make a bracha related to that. So you see, it's all related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Gemara brachas. They should go run to see Malchei Umos HaOlam. So you realize, they should yizke yavchin, kibizochet, to realize true Kavon. That's what the Tzitz Eliezer also, the different Shuva, because he was asked a lot about this Gemara, Tzitz Eliezer Simin, in Chelek Yutes, Simin Nun, he quotes, do we say that even, let's say if it's just Jewish king, even if it's a Recha B'mitzvos, even if he's a Mamish or Rasha, so says the Tzitz Eliezer, maybe it could be, in Yonah D'Yoma, maybe it could be yesterday's Haftorah, that right after the V.A. Habal, and Achav is the one that's there, he helped set it up. He helped set up this, the V.A. Habal versus Eliyahu Bar Carmel. And what does it say? One of the last lines of the Haftorah, everybody screams out, Hashem Elokim, twice. So Lechora, Achav also screamed that out. So maybe there was a Pintel Yid right then. That's when the story took place, right after that story. So maybe he was at Tzadik Boso Shah. And that's why even Achav at the time, even if it's a Jewish king, one would be able to give him proper covenant. Hashem will okay, like the Gemara in Kedushin, even if somebody is Mahar Har Tshuva Belibo, even for a moment, he's Nechshav Tzadik for that moment. Okay, Amar Ula, Bikesh Moshe Malchus Lo Nisner Lo. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be the Melech at the time of the Sneh. Hashem didn't let him. Dechsev al tikrav halom, don't come close, ain halom elo malchus. Halom is a reference to malchus. Shenamar kimi anochi Hashem elokim, ki avitani ad halom. Might have brought me. 2 years ago he mentioned the Maral Diskin related to this chazal. We'll mention it again if we have time afterwards. Masiv Rava. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yevama Melech. He did get malchus. What do you mean he didn't get malchus? He can say it's machlokas chazals. What do you mean he asked malchus? He didn't get it. He did get malchus. Amar Rava lo ulazaro kamar. He was asking for a dynasty of malchus, not just himself. He wanted it to go to his kids also. And that he didn't get, even if he had the status of a melech. Whenever it says the word halom, it means malchus for a dynasty. V'hagabi shol tachsiv have ot halom ish. By Shaul, when Shaul was hiding, and they didn't even know where he was, they said, is there any other person here? Right, Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel says, remember, Shmuel was punished later, because he didn't know exactly which one was going to be the king by David HaMelech. Even earlier, because he said, Anochi Aroeh. But here also, they didn't know where Shaul was. Have they owed Halom Ish? So who in Zarelo? So Shaul didn't have a dynasty. Right, so it says Halom there too. So you see, Halom doesn't mean Davka dynasties. Two answers. Ibayisema, Hohavi Ishboshes, yes. Maybe he had a son. Ishboshes was a king for 2 years. Discussion in the Chazal. Whether he really had the status of a king or not. When it went from who was the second king of Israel? Was it Ishboshes or was it David? Ishboshes was just for a couple of years. So number one, Ibayisema, or Shiny Shaul, Dafil Begavelo come. Or maybe Shaul was different because he lost it himself. He lost the Malchus. Kid Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. As Rabbi Chanina says, "B'shar sheposkei gedula la'adam, posel lo lazar atzof galadaros." When Hashem is posei gedula for someone, He's posei it for all generations. Shneimar lo yigram mitzadik einav. He won't take it away from mitzadik. That's malachim like he say bechulu. But if him heik is daito, Hakadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo. But if he raises himself up, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is mashpil him and lowers him. Shneimar vim asurim bazikim ilachdun bechevle oni. He will be caught in the ropes of oni. Period. So this is the last couple of lines relate to the very fascinating sugya of Shaul HaMelech. He wasn't supposed to be the king because it wasn't ripe yet for Malchus Beis David. So what was the event? What if he wouldn't have sinned? Would he have been stayed the king, but it wasn't Malchus Beis David? Would there be the Barbanel says there would have been two lines of lineage. He would have been in the background, kept the status of a Melech. That's the discussion of Shaul HaMelech. Ultimately, we know that he did sin and he lost the Malchus. The Sefer HaIkarim, in Chelek Dalid, Os Chavav, Rav Albo asks, Shaul and David both sinned. They both did Averis. David also did Averis. David paid for his Averis too. The whole second, Shmuel Beis is all about the problems that he had with his children, according to Chazal, because of the Averis that he did. So, why didn't he lose the Malchus? Why Shaul did? So, the Sefer Yikarim explains, based on Chazal, that it was different kinds of sins. David had personal Chatayim. David had personal chatam, so he got personal onshin. We all have chatam. Nobody's perfect. David wasn't one of the four people that never sinned. Yishai was, but David wasn't. But David HaMelech was the king. But he was not perfect. But, so he got punished. Shaul's sins related to being a king. That's why he had to lose the Malchus. What were his sins? If you'd bedaik in the psukim, he wasn't a leader of the Am, he was led by the Am. By Amalek, he was influenced by the Am to save the animals. By waiting for a week for the Karbanis before Shmuel came. The Am was dispersing, therefore he gave the Karbanis quickly without waiting for Shmuel Hanavi. Right, so you find it was the Am, and that's why there's a fascinating Yalkut in Shmuel, when the David HaMelech brings the Aron back, and he's dancing in front of the Aron, and schwitzing, and giving it his all, and he comes back in, and Michal Bas Shaul says, oh, it's disgusting what you did. The Yalkut there quotes a whole conversation, where Michal says to David, my father wouldn't have done such a thing. To schwitz and roll up his sleeves in front of all the shvachos of the kingdom, my father would never have done such a thing. He was too proper, because he was thinking about what other people thought. David HaMelech says, and that's exactly why he lost the Malchus. It's exactly why you're like, what's going on here? That's the point. I don't care what people think. I'm giving kavod to the Aron HaKodesh here. I'm dancing in front of the Aron. I'm just getting schwitzed up. But that's how you show kavod. I don't care what people are thinking right now, because I'm the king. Right, so that's the conversation that took place. Different types of chatoim. Period. Back to Maseches Vachim. Two dots. Ba'alei Mumin. Bein Ba'alei Mumin v'chulu. Says the Gemara. So the Mishnah had said that Ba'alei Mumin are allowed to eat from these, back in the first Mishnah, the parak, Tzadik Chesem Abeis. Ba'alei Mumin are allowed to get even a chalukah. They get a chalukah, they get a portion of the karbanis, and they get the karbanis. They just can't do the avodah. Says the Gemara, Minani Mili, how do we know this? The Tana Rabbanan, Kol Zachar, L'Rabbos Ba'alei Mumin. So where is Kol Zachar? Rashi points out that it says this in, by Chatas and Asham, and by Mincha, I think, by all three. Yeah, Mincha, Chatas, and Ashan. That's why we're going to have three brises darshaning the same words, because it's three different psukim. Kol Zachar L'Rabbos Ba'alei Mumin. Any male, including Ba'alei Mumin. L'mai. Ila Achila, if it's for eating purpose, Arik Farnam, Alechem Alokav, Mikach Yechadashim Yochel. We already know that a Balmum can eat it. Ela L'Chaluka. Ela must be that he can even get a portion of it. Fine. Tanya Ida, Kol Zachar L'Rabbos Ba'alei Mumin. L'mai. Why does the second one there? Ila Achila, Kray Amar. It already says they can eat it. Ila chaluka harik faramur. It already says it. So, it says on the side, sheyachol el ba'alei mum me'ikara. It's teaching me a ba'alei mum even from birth. Sheyachol, ein li ela tavanas ba'alei mum. I might have thought to only include a kohen that had a shasa kosher. Ba'alei mum me'ikara b'nayin, how do I know that if he never had a shasa kosher? He was always a ba'alei mum also. Tamalomar, kol zachar. That's what the pasuk includes. Number two. Number three. Tanya Idach. Kol Zachar L'Rabbos Ba'alei Mumin. L'mai. Ila Achila. Harikfar Amur. La'achila we already know. Ila Chaluka that he gets a proportion directly. Harikfar Amur. Vila Ba'alei Mumin Meikaro. Harikfar Amur. So what's the third one teaching me? Sheyachol. Eli Ela Ba'alei Mumin Kavua. Ba'alei Mumin over Minayin. I know that a coin with a permanent mum eats. How do I know that even if he has a Ba'alei Mumin over? Temporary. Tamalomar Kol Zachar. That's right. To even include a mum over. Says the Gemara, klape laya, just the opposites. What do you mean? Balmum over should be more ro'i to eat than a balmum kavua. Two answers. Amar of Sheshes, Eifuch, number one, okay, switch it. Or, Ravashi Amar la'olam lotefuch, really don't switch it. The Yisroch, and you do need in this direction, that you would have thought a balmum kavua first. Saka da'i d'chamino, ki tame, I would have thought just like a tame person. Ma tame kamadol tarlo achil, a tame person is only temporarily tame. And yet, he's not allowed to eat from it until he becomes tahar. Safainami, kamadul miskan lo'achal. I might have thought that a balmum over will have rachm. By a balmum kavua, he's never going to have a time where he could bet where he could do it. So we'll let him do it. By a balmum over, just wait. It's like a dorash yishlam atirin. You might as well wait and let him become, lose his mum. So kamash malan, that's why it's including even a balmum over. Period. Kol she'ei roi v'chulu. So now we're getting back to the principle that was said in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, anyone who is not ra'ui la'avoda does not get a chalukah. That was the language of the Mishnah. Anyone who's not ra'ui to work is not doesn't get a chalik. So the Gemara says, it's a steer in the Mishnah. V'lo, v'ray ba'mum, so ra'ui la'avoda v'cholik. What in the next line of the Mishnah? The previous line. A ba'mum cannot do the avoda, and he gets a portion. V'su, and also, what do we medai? The Mishnah says, anybody who's not ra'ui la'avoda does not get a portion. Mashma, anybody who is ra'ui la'avoda does get a portion. V'su, ha ra'ui la'avoda cholik. Hare tame v'karbanas sibur. A tame person is fit to do karbanas sibur. Tomo hocha b'tzibur. To roi lavoda ve'eno cholik. So you see the diak doesn't work either. Not only does the befeir statement not work, the diak doesn't work. So Gemara says, no, we're not talking about roi lachachluka. Roi la'achila ka'amar. We're talking about roi la'achila. Anybody who is roi lavoda can be roi la'achila. And therefore, the balmum is okay, because the balmum can't eat it. One second, v'harei kata de roi l'achila v'eda cholik, a kata is roi l'achila, and he doesn't get a portion, he can just get it if his father gave it to him. So the Gemara says, halok tani. Okay, you know what? Forget the diuk. The Mishnah says, anybody who cannot do the avoda does not get a portion, and that's it, period. So the Mishnah doesn't make any diukim. So the other rule of kala roi l'avoda, there is no such rule. You're right, there are exceptions to the other side. The Mishnah never meant that. So the Gemara says, one second, Hashadas is lahachi. Once you say we're not being medayik anything, so olam kit to kamar meikara, go back to what we said before. Like we said before, the Mishnah means roi la'avoda. anyone who's not Roy Lavoda. So Imishim Tame, Tame Loktani. And don't worry about the Tame line, because we're not meant to be Medayik anything from the Mishnah. The problem only was Balmum. That was the problem with the Beferish line that we had in the Mishnah. V'imishim Balmum, Rachmana Rabye. You're right, it's an exception to the rule. And the Torah specifically includes Balmum, even though it's against the rule, but the rule still sticks, besides that exception. Period. So what does Tami mean? The last line of the Mishnah. Afilo Tami b'shas rikas damim v'tar b'shas hektar chalavim in acholik. Even if somebody is Tame when the blood is sprinkled and tar later, no good. Gotta be tahar throughout. But hata'a, or at least during hektar chalavim. So hatar b'shas rikas adav v'tame b'shas hektar chalavim cholik. So shu would be medayik the opposite. If you're tar at the time of zrika and you become Tame later, is that good enough? If that's what the Mishnah holds, Masis de Loka Abishol, the Mishnah then would be against Abishol, the Tanya Abishol Omer. Because Abishol says, La Olam Eino Ochel Ashi Tar Bishazrika Achas Hector Chalavim. You gotta be tar throughout the Shazrika and Achas Hector. Even though Hector, the Sfasema says, why don't we hold like him? Because Hector's not Ma'akev. Right, not Ma'akev. But what does he say? You gotta be throughout. Amar Kraha Ma'akrivis, Davashlamim. Esachelev, the afilu hector chalavim nami boy. Makrev is a lashon of zrika. Chelev is burned. That's what you need. You need it both. That's that's the gemara. Sfasemet has an interesting suffix. What happens even according to Abishol? What happens if he's tar b'shas zrika and then he becomes tamei, but then you lose the chalavim, so you're not going to do hector. So is it a din that you mamish have to do the? You have to be roy b'shas hector, or is it a posel? If it's a posel, then tough luck. He's Tommy Bishas when he should be doing the Hector. But if it's only Lamaisa, then as long as he was Tar Bishas Rika, that interesting question that Sfasemes brings up. Period. Boy, Ravashi. Ravashi brings up another question within Abishol. Nitzma ben Tayimahu. What if he become Tommy in between? He was Tar at both beginning and end, but not in the middle. Bishas Rika, Bishas Haktara, Bina, and Vahaika. You have both important moments. Odilma, Achi, Tar Bishas Rika, Bishas Haktar Chalavim. It's a continuum. You got to be from beginning to end. Teku, no answer given. Difficult Rambam. The Rambam on this Teku says, we don't know what the halacha is, so tafas lo mafkinon. If one of the kohanim grab it, then we let him keep it. Why? Because the Radva says, like any sveika de mamona, where we say tafas lo mafkinon. That's the achronim. This isn't a sveika de mamona. Sveika karbanis, when you're supposed to get a piece of the karban, mishochan gavoa kazachu. But Sarachian on the Rambam, uses regular Tfisa Lomafkina lines, related to this line in Yud Chavez related to Kachin. Okay, you gotta work it out. Amar Rava. So the next Gemara is one statement. Amar Rava. It's a repeat over and over again, as you'll see. Hi Dina May Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon Gamirna. I heard this din from Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon to Amar Bebe Sakise. When he was in the bathroom, he said this, and I overheard him saying this. This Dvar Torah. So the last line of the Gemara we're going to get to is, how can he talk in the bathroom, Divrei Torah? Okay, we'll get to that. But what was he, what did he say here? So, Dantaba. So, he, in his mind, he was saying a conversation, a made-up conversation that a Tzvul Yom could have with a fellow Kohen. And the Tzvul Yom is trying to say, hey, I deserve to get a portion of this. Of this carbon. And that's the conversation. They're going back and forth whether it's full yom is should get one or not. That's this conversation that Rav Elazar Reb Shimon is saying in the bathroom. So here we go. It's full yom, tata but full yom ba'amar. A full yom comes and says, Tain li mi mincha va'ochel. Can I have a little bit of a mincha? So amar lo. So the Kohen, who's not a full yom, who full says back to him, no. Ma im b'makom she yupa kochacha b'chatascha. In the world of chatas, you're very strong. Why? Because you could bring, Rashi explains, you could bring a carbon chatas whatever you want. Even though there are 24 mishmaris, whenever a Kohen wants to bring his chatas, he can come and give it himself. So in the world of chatas, you're very strong. And yet, tichisicha mechatas Yisrael, and yet a tful yom does not get a portion in a carbon chatas. Why? Because it's full yom. Malkam shahora kochacha b'minchascha. In a place where your strength is weakened by a carbon mincha, what happens to a minchas kohen? It's totally burned on the mizbeach. So in the world of mincha, you're weak. Eino dichaticha b'minchas Yisrael. Surely you should not be zochet to get a portion of the mincha. Says the tful yom back to him, but 1 minute. Umaim dechisani mechadas Yisrael shekashem sheyofe kochi kach yofe kochacha. But chadas were equal. You're also weak by mincha. All minchas kohanim are burned. So you're no better than me. So if you get a portion, I should also get a portion. So the full kohen answers, okay, you're right, it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, only for the kohen who's makriv. Could you be makriv? and eat? No. So you can't get a portion. That's A. B. Tainli mechatas Yisrael ba'ochel. The Tful Yom says, can I please have a piece of the carbon chatas? Amar Lehi says, no. Uma b'makam shahora kochi b'min chasi. In a place, says the Kohen Tahar to the Tful Yom, in a place where I have little strength, in a mincha, tichi sicha b'minchas Yisrael, I can still push you away regarding the minchas Yisrael, like I just did. Makom sheyupa yayafek kochi b'chatasi. By a chatas, I'm very strong, I'm going to get a portion of it. Einodin shadichacha b'minchas Yisrael. Surely you shouldn't get a portion. So Amar Lehi, so the Tful Yom says back to him, by mincha, same kind of thing. By mincha, we're all the same, weak. By chatas, we're also the same. So therefore, I'm strong by chatas. I can bring my own chatas, so I should also get a portion in it. So he said, no, it's a pasuk. Hari omer, hakoena machate osa yochlena. Whoever could do the sprinkling could eat it. Ba chate vacho. Come sprinkle and eat. You can't? No good. Next, number three. Amar Lehi, tainli mechazi v'shok v'ochel. Give me a portion of the shlamim, the chazi and the shok, which every kohen is supposed to get from the shlamim. So Amar Lehi, again the Torah kohen says back to him, Uma b'makam shiyafa kochacha b'chatascha. Dichi sicha mechatas Yisrael. In a place where you're very strong, you can bring your own chatas, yet you don't get chatas Yisrael. Makam shahora kochacha b'shlamim. She'en lecha bohen ala chazi v'shok. In a shlamim case, where all you have is the chazi and the shok, you don't get all the meat like a chatas. Surely by shlamim you should be weak. So the Tful Yom says back, Mam dechisane mechatas shakein hora kochi etzon hashay v'avdayai. By a chatas, my strength is weak. So it's good that I'm not magili. Why? Because a chatas I can only eat myself. I can't give it to my family. It's kashi kachim. Tadicheni mechazi v'shok shakein yafek kochi etzon hashay v'avdayai. Chazi v'shok has the status of kashi kalim. I can share with my family. So too, maybe I should have a piece of a shalmei Yisrael. So again, the Torah coins is back. Sorry, it's based on a pasuk. Bazrok va'achol. So Tful Yom says, tries three times, and each time he's pushed aside. So ends off for Blazer Reb Shimon in the bathroom. Yatzat Tful Yom, kula v'chomer al rosho. The Tful Yom leaves with his kavachomers on his head. Even though, who's kavachomers? The tar person's kavachomers on his head. Onei miyamino mechusar kapara mismolo. And walking next to the Tful Yom is the onein and the mechusar kapara. You know, they all walk out, not getting a portion of the mashal, not getting a portion of the karbanis. Okay, I guess we'll have to stop here. We'll start tomorrow with Paruch Rav Achoy, which is just the last statement of the discussion, and get into, in the bathroom, what is one supposed to think about when one is in the bathroom? Right, that is what we have to talk about for the Mishnah Berurah. Is one allowed to think about the Gavlus of Hashem in the bathroom? What do I think about nature in the bathroom, the Gavlus of Hashem? That's a big shiloh. Is that going to lead you to think about Hashem, and is that appropriate for in the bathroom? We'll see what the Mishnah Berurah says, but the other posts can say that about Hashem will be the beginning of tomorrow, and we'll get into the next Gemaras as well. Okay, we'll stop here. Would you have a good day.